Amen. Please be seated. What a joy to worship God together. That's like the Lutheran national anthem, you know? It's just such a joy to sing that and to hear it played so well and to celebrate what God offers to us. A God who loves us so much that he didn't so love the world that he didn't create a bunch of little robots that whenever he clicked his remote, we would all go, "We're not worthy." He didn't just create a bunch of people who would fill up his coffers with gold and silver and whatever else we have. He so loved the world that he wanted us set free. We're going to talk about that freedom that God offers to us, the gift that we celebrate here this Reformation Sunday and really at all times. And we grab that from the gospel reading that Martin Luther wanted to make so clear to us, the gospel being clear, letting Jesus speak just directly to people. And we have to realize, again, what a radical idea this was 500 years ago, that Martin Luther said, it's time for us to put the scriptures in the language people understand instead of just speaking them in Latin or singing songs in Latin, to let the people be engaged with this word that can set them free. So from John chapter 8, verse 32, and if I may, I'll read just a little bit before that. Again, Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples. And verse 32, as you have it on the slide, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what he's offering to us, this freedom. Freedom not necessarily as we think of it in the United States, where that means I talked about in the children's message, where we get to do whatever we want, right? We can all have a little moment where we think about whether it's spaghetti noodles in the microwave or it's driving without any worry about speed limits or whatever. We could all think for a minute of what we might do if we were absolutely free and had no consequences to worry about. But Jesus is talking about a different kind of freedom that actually, the freedom that changes us so that we actually care about the consequences and are motivated not out of guilt, but we are motivated out of love. That's really what he comes to free us for. Jesus comes to free us from guilt. We hear that in the epistle lesson that was read for us earlier. And just to go back and read a tiny bit of that again, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us are being, every mouth is silenced and the whole earth held accountable to sin. There's guilt there. Guilt that we all have. Guilt that comes from our thoughts and our words and our deeds. Guilt that comes from our inaction. You and I may say, I never pulled the trigger. I didn't, you know, create some horrible hate crime or send bombs in the mail or any number of these other horrible things that have happened in this past week. No. But by our own words, though we may not have ever fired any bullets at anyone, our words have at times been like bullets to someone else's heart. Our selfishness has come through that we've deprived others of what they too might have of the goodness of God. We all have guilt, Romans talks about. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And yet Jesus came to free us from that guilt. And he's the one that speaks that truth. He says it to the woman caught in adultery, I don't condemn you. He says it to all of his disciples on that Easter night when he says, peace be with you, your sins are all forgiven. And he says it to each and every one of us here today because we who have sinned and fallen short of his glory are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. You and I free from guilt because Jesus was declared guilty in our place. You and I set free as his hands were bound and then nailed upon a cross, that our arms might be free to reach out in love and support to others. We free from guilt because his head took the crown of thorns and the guilt of all of our sin and all of that guilt placed on him. Free from guilt is that first gift that he offers to us and we truly treasure today. We also get to be free from boasting, and I love this idea also from the epistle reading. Where then is boasting? It's excluded, verse 27 says. Because of what law? Because the law requires works, but no. All that is required is faith. I don't get to say, well, Of course Jesus set me free from guilt, because he knew that Jerry would be one of the finest Lutheran preachers ever to walk the face of the earth. And so therefore, he's going to have to, you know, declare Jerry free. I don't get to boast like that. First of all, I know that's not true. But most importantly, I know that there is no quality in me that made God look and say, oh, yeah, we need that Jerry guy in there. If anything, he's like, if I leave him out, people are going to really doubt that grace is amazing. So we better include him in, right? This is there is no boasting there. This is not about your figure. This is not about your IQ. This is not about how many zeros are behind, you know, in your bank account. This is about him and his great love. If we're going to boast about anything, the Old Testament says, let us boast about the Lord who is so loving, who is so forgiving, who knows exactly what's in our hearts and still loves us, who knows exactly what we said and did and still wants us as his children. He's the one that we boast about. You know, I once was kind of getting in that stream and say, you know, I'm a first generation Lutheran. I'm the first one in my family to really walk again with Christ in several generations. Then I met an Indian pastor, dear friend of mine. He is a seventh generation Lutheran. Now, I don't know if you and I can think back that far, but that's to like the mid-1880s. The first missionaries from Germany that went to India, his great-great-great-great, however many great-grandparents ago that was, heard the gospel and wanted no longer to worry about trying to justify themselves by their own works and the religion they had been told before, but grabbed hold of that gospel and have held onto it and have shared it and have lived it for these last seven generations. That's, you know, we can think about boasting how far back our Lutheran pedigree might go or how far back we've traced our family tree, but can we not just look at God, the God who makes all of us his children, and say, I'm not going to boast. It's not about my last name. It's not about what I've ever accomplished. I get zero credit for my past or my present or my future successes. All the honor and the glory goes to him. And we get freed from that self-reliance and that it somehow, some way, it all depends upon us. I think also one of the most important things for us to grasp this Reformation Sunday is that God sets us free to practice life. To practice life. Jesus said, you know, if you believe in me, you know, the Son has set you free, you'll be free indeed, right? And what does that mean? It means for us to practice what it's like to really be free. Practice what it's like to be free from temptation. What it's like to be free from self-centeredness. What would Jesus do if he was sitting in the pew with me today? What would Jesus do if he was going to the barbecue today? What would Jesus do if he was heading off to Kroger's later on this afternoon or wherever it is that they might be going? We get to practice this idea. We were saved once and for all upon the cross, but it's almost as if God works that salvation into us like the kneading of dough or like the smoking of brisket barbecue. I know it's probably not fair for me to do that when we still have about 2.5 hours to go, 2 hours and 15 minutes to be really exact. But who's counting, right? That he's working this process in us to make us more like Christ. When I was a kid, I used to have a rock tumbler kit. I don't know how many of you ever did that. You put in these precious gems that just look like kind of just blobs, really. You put in some sand and water, and you let that thing tumble for days and days and days, and out come these polished, smooth, shiny, colorful, semi-precious gems. It's really quite an amazing process. That's what Jesus is trying to work in us. Do you know that sometimes he will actually put an irritating person in your life just to rub you that one way so that you'll become a little more polished? You'll have the chance to practice patience. You'll have the chance to practice grace. You'll have the chance to practice unconditional love when we realize, wow, how long did God put up with my irritating habits and so on? And practicing this freedom of thinking of others, practicing this idea of eternal life, this eternal gospel that's there. Jesus gives us the chance to do that. What I love about his grace, you know, we hear in Scripture that it's new every morning. So I may not pass every test. I may not do so well as I practiced yesterday. I get a new day. You get a new day, to practice the freedom and the love and the grace and the goodness that's there. We get a day to practice and live out what it says in Scripture alone and be guided by that, where it says to be quick to forgive, slow to speak, slow to get angry. I get to practice that today. I get to practice it every day that He offers that to us. In essence, what is happening is that once we have been brought to faith in Christ, justified, right, by faith alone, by grace alone, in our baptisms that we receive that grace alone, we're strengthened by His word alone, what you and I are getting to do is live eternal life now. It's as if we are already in heaven. That's why He taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in my life as it already is in heaven." I can, as I practice, become more and more like those who don't need practice anymore, who are already just perfectly aligned and living that eternal life out. We can start it right now and practice at it and get better at it. You know, they say that for someone to become an expert at anything, whether it's playing the violin or, you know, whatever it is, something at work, it takes 10,000 hours to master something. I know that that's true because, like, when I was repairing screens at my house yesterday, the first repair took me about 45 minutes because I cut the screen wrong twice. You know, the screen, and then you put the little stuff in with your little tool and all that. The second screen took me about 15 minutes. The third screen took me about 5 minutes. And I would imagine that the men and women who do this for a living do it in about 2 minutes apiece. Just zip, 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 and it's fixed. When we practice, we get better at the things Jesus did and better at those things He teaches us. Lastly, I think that this wonderful gospel then frees us to bring the gospel to others by being gospel. You know, as you and I are practicing that life, as we're becoming more loving and joyful and patient and peaceful and all those fruits of the Spirit, as we live more and more that way, we are living out the gospel, and it just becomes natural for us to share it with others. Someone looks at your life and says, "What's different about you? Everybody else here at work is running around like their tail's on fire, and you're staying calm." Or someone in our family says, "How is it that you pause before you make such big decisions and you always seem to make the right decision?" We are living out the gospel because we've practiced it. And now we get to do that eternal gospel that was talked about in the Revelation reading. This angel flying over with this eternal gospel to proclaim to everyone on earth, to every nation, every tribe, every language, and every people. To the people whose hearts are breaking in Pennsylvania, we can live out the gospel. To the people struggling and still trying to get over the floods here in Harvey or from the other hurricanes over in the East Coast that have struck there, we can live out the eternal gospel by our encouragement and by our prayers. We can help bring the gospel through the missionaries we support as our denomination, or through our ESL class that we do right here on this campus, or by the way we love our children and grandchildren and show them patience and show them the same grace that God has shown to us. We are free to live out that gospel, and when we do, we help others experience that freedom as well. I pray that God will indeed help us, and that He has set us free through Jesus to live out the gospel, to practice eternal life now, to practice and work through His salvation in all that He gives us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to invite you.